Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Zoom shir. Tonight's shir is going to be discussing what is the halacha about somebody who is going to be fasting, but not fasting the whole day. So should they fast for a few hours in the morning as a way to partially fast if they're not going to be obligated to fast the rest of the day for whatever medical reasons? That could be one of numerous medical reasons. So to introduce this discussion, what I'd like to do is take 10 steps backwards and introduce the ideas that are cited in halacha of why we have the takana. What's the nature of the takana of Tisha B'Av, Shavua Asar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves? Why do we fast? It's not D'oraisa. Is it D'rabbanan? Is it not D'rabbanan? Is it a minhag? We're going to see some fascinating things about that. And after we understand the nature of why we fast in the first place, we'll be able to better understand the parameters of fasting and what is going to be the halacha ultimately if for somebody who does not need to fast a whole day, should they fast at least for a few hours. So in order to do that, please join me in the screen that I'm about to share. Great. Okay, let me just adjust my screen. Hold on, please. One second. Just have to adjust the screen one tiny bit. There we go. Okay. If anyone has a question in the middle, you're welcome to unmute yourselves and raise your questions. Okay. So the question that we have: a cholish ein bo sakana who can fast for a few hours without a problem, should they? So let's go back to the very discussion about the fact that we have to fast in the first place on these various fasts, the four fasts that are what we call midvar sofrim, as we'll see shortly. So the backdrop, before we talk about fasts, is actually going to be a discussion in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah speak at length about sending people out, messengers out to all of the Klal Yisrael, wherever they might be living, in order to inform them when the new Rosh Chodesh is. So we have to know that whenever there's a Yontif in the following month, they would send out a Shliach to inform the people. And one of the points it says, and we're not going to go through the other points, as you see on the screen, is on Av, before Rosh Chodesh Av, they would send people out, a Shliach out to all the Jewish communities around the world, Mipnei HaTainus, so everybody would know when Tisha B'Av is. The Gemara asks a very obvious and simple question. The Gemara asks, why do they send people out for Tisha B'Av and not for Shavua Asar B'Tammuz and not for Asar B'Teves? That's the Gemara's question. So to answer that, we're going to get into a little bit of a beautiful discussion of why we fast at all, and then we'll see why Asar B'Teves and Shavua Asar B'Tammuz don't get a shliach to announce Rosh Chodesh, whereas Tisha B'Av does warrant a shliach. So the Gemara responds the following. The Gemara says, what does the pasuk mean? The Navi Zechariah in Parakhesed Zechariah says a pasuk that is quite famous because this is the famous pasuk that says that in the future, the four tzomos will end up being days of celebration. Komar Hashem Tzvakos. Tzom HaRavi'i, the tzom of the fourth month, that's Shavua Asar B'Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, that's the fifth month, counting from Nisan, that's Tisha B'Av. V'tzom HaShavi'i, that's the seventh month from Nisan, which is Tzom Gedalia, Vitzom Ha'asiri, the 10th month, which is Asar B'Teves. All these four fasts, Yiyye Lebeis Yehuda, Lisason, Ulisimcha, Ulmoadim, Tovim, and that's always the bracha that we wish one another, that the fast days that we are expecting to fast, perhaps this Tisha B'Av Habalel Tova, should indeed be not one of fasting, but of Sason, Simcha, Moadim, Tovim. So the Gemara is bothered by something. The Gemara is bothered by the following seeming contradiction. We're calling these days a tzom. Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShri, Tzom HaAsiri. And yet, at the same time, we're describing them as Sason, Simcha, Moedim, Tovim, which seemingly is a contradiction. I mean, of course, you're going to say, well, they used to be a tzom, and in the future, we hope that they're going to be for Sason and Simcha. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. The reason is because there's a pasuk elsewhere in Zechariah that describes the same fast day as only, if you look here in the small letters, K Kitzamtem usvod b'chamishi describes it only as a fast day. And here we're describing the same day. You'll see as we get a little further in that there's a contradiction within the pasuk of, on one hand, calling it a tzom, on the other hand, calling it a day of simcha and sasan. So that's the contradiction that the Gemara is bothered by. And the Gemara is going to give an answer. With that answer, we're going to be able to answer our original question of why shlichim only have to go out for Tisha B'Av and not for Shavuot Esrei B'Tam is not Esrei B'Teves. And this is the key line for tonight's shir. Amar of Papa. Hachi Kamar. This is how we should resolve the inherent contradiction that exists in the pasuk that simultaneously calls these fast days on one hand a tzom and on the other hand a time of sason and simcha. And Rav Papa says the following: Bizman sheyesh shalom, yiyu l'sason l'simcha. When we have shalom, now what does shalom mean? Does shalom just mean peace? It means there's no fighting? Maybe it means when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Then, let's assume like that, let's assume when there's peace, meaning in the presence of a Beis HaMikdash, then, yiyeh l'sason u'l'simcha, then the fast days are actually to be celebrated as Yomim Tovim. Yeshmad, in a time of destruction, whenever there would be such a time period, which is the opposite of the Beis HaMikdash, a time of destruction, tzom, let me explain to you what that means. Tzom means it is an obligatory, there's an absolute chiyuv to fast. It's obligatory that it be a day of fasting. The Navi is calling it a day of fasting. However, there's a third category. I thought there were only two, during a time of Beis HaMikdash, shalom, and a time of destruction. No, there's an intermediate category. Ein shmad ve'ein shalom? If it's neither a time of shmad, of destruction, nor is it a time of shalom, of having the Beis HaMikdash, then what is the halacha about fasting? It depends what you want to do. Ratzu, if they want, mis'anim, they fast. Ratzu, if they want, ein mis'anim, they don't have to fast. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? In a time of this intermediate period, when it's not, I don't mean intermediate chronologically, I mean intermediate conceptually. If it's not a time of shalom of the Beis HaMikdash, nor is it a time of destruction, then it's a time that, you, sort of like now, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we're not living in a time of destruction. So we're living in this third twilight zone time period. We're living in this epic of Ein Shmad V'Ein Shalom. And therefore, what is the halacha today for fasting? The halacha today for fasting is, it depends what we want to do. If we want, we could fast. If we don't want, we can fast. Now, please don't hang up the, don't shut your computers or hang up the phone right now, because you're going to get the wrong message. So please listen to the end. I was actually on a rabbinic conference call a few weeks ago, about a month or two months ago, and a physician was addressing the rabbanim, and he wanted to make a point. And he said something. He said, COVID is over. And he said, nobody hang up the phone, because COVID is over. And he wanted everyone to realize that he was building up to something when he was going to say it's over, like, in, you know, within our, you know, 12 block radius, but everywhere outside of that, we have to be exceedingly careful and there's a lot to be concerned of. And somebody hung up the phone and spoke to a local medical expert and said, oh, I heard from the rabbi that COVID is over. He entirely missed the point and of the message. So if you stop here and just take this line out of context, it will not be good. We're not saying that if you want to fast on Tisha B'Av, you could fast. If you don't want to fast, don't fast. But that is the word. Those are the words of the Gemara. We'll have to understand what that means, though. So what? Why is it important to know that nowadays, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but we're not in a time of destruction, the obligation to fast is one of, if we want to, we do. If we don't, we don't. Oh, now we could come back and answer the original question. You remember the original question was, how come they send out shlichim on Av for Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara asked, why don't they also send out a shliach to tell us when Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is for Shavuot Esrei B'Tammuz? Why don't they send out a shliach for Esrei B'Teves before Teves? The answer is, because these fast days are anyway only optional. And if it's only optional, then there's no need to send out a shliach for a holiday or a fast, whatever you want to call these days. That's anyway only optional. Wait a second. If it's optional, then Tisha B'Av is also optional, right? Wasn't that one of the four? That's the Gemara's question. Ihachi. If so, that you're telling me that the fast days, the four fast days in the Jewish calendar are all optional, so Tisha B'Av Nami is also optional, and therefore why did you say in the Mishnah that you do send out a shliach for Av so that the Jewish people will know when to fast on Tisha B'Av? I thought you just told me it's optional. And says the Gemara, you're right, it is optional, but Shani Tisha B'Av hol v'huchpelu bo tzaros. Tisha B'Av is unique in the multiple tzaros that have occurred on Tisha B'Av. And since there are multiple things that happen on Tisha B'Av, more so than any other of the fast days, therefore, even though they're all optional, including Tisha B'Av, but since it's so intense, even though it's an optional fast, but since huchpelo bo tzaros, for the word kefal, double, since there are a double amount of tzaros on Tisha B'Av, we therefore feel that it's appropriate to send out the shlichim to inform the Jewish people around the world when Rosh Chodesh Av will be, so they could fast on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is a little bit more severe than the other Yom Tovim, the other fast days, even though all of them, Tisha B'Av included, is indeed optional. Where do we see that huchpelo bo tzaros, that there are more tzaros on Tisha B'Av? Because we know that on Tisha B'Av was the same day that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nilkada Beis, Beitar, Nechar Shahair, Yerushalayim was plowed, etc. Now, before we go on, just a very quick historical question that the Rashba asks and other, and Tosos asks. You're telling me that Tisha B'Av is different. Tisha B'Av is unique. Tisha B'Av is more severe than everything else because Tisha B'Av has a double whammy. We have destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. Can I ask you a question? Isn't the same exact point of Shavuos Batamas? Tisha B'Av had five things happen on it. Guess what? Shavuos Batamas had five terrible things that happened on that day. Tisha B'Av had the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash. Guess what? Shavuos Batamas was the breaking of the breaching of the walls in the two Batei Mikdash. So what's the difference between Shavuos Batamas and Tisha B'Av? Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. So here you have to know a little bit of history. The Rashba knew history. The Rashba says that although we celebrate, we commemorate Shavuos Batamas, which is the destruction of the walls of Yerushalayim and the breaching of the walls and the infiltration of foreign enemies into Yerushalayim, they both happened around Shavuos Batamas. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, that was actually on the ninth day of Tammuz. And on the second Beis HaMikdash, it was Shavuos Batamas. So therefore, even though we think about the breaching of the walls was on Shavuos Batamas and both Batei Mikdash, we commemorate both of them on Shavuos Batamas, but the actual dates was 8 days apart, many years, hundreds of years apart, and 8 days apart, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, when on the very same day, on Tisha B'Av, both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash was burnt down, was destroyed. And therefore, Tisha B'Av is in a class of itself, class of its own, and therefore for Tisha B'Av, because Huchpelu about Tzaros, will send Shlichim out to all the cities in the diaspora and tell them in Eretz Yisrael and the diaspora to inform them when Rosh Chodesh is so they could fast, so they'll know exactly what the right day is. And on the other fast days, we don't, it's not worth it because they're optional fasts anyway, even though Tisha B'Av is also an optional fast. Now, I don't want you to hang up because what in the world am I saying that Tisha B'Av is an optional fast? Those are the words that we're going to have to understand. Now, what I'd like to show you is an incredible Ritva. The Ritva is going to analyze the Gemara that we just learned together and offer a few fabulous insights. And after we see this Ritva, we're going to have an incredible appreciation of what is the nature of our fast. And with that, we'll be able to paskin our Shaila as to what to do for somebody who is not going to be able to fast the whole day. Should they fast for a few hours or should they not? Let's go back to the pasuk that the Navi Zechariah prophesied. Not prophesized. There's no such word in the English language as to prophesize. It's to prophesy. It's good to know. Okay, so what the Navi Zechariah prophesied the following. He said that there will be a time when these four fasts, Ashvasa B'Tamas of Tisha B'Av, Asom G'dayah, Asra B'Tamas, will be L'Sasam V'Simcha. Can I ask you a question? When did Zechariah live? What is he talking about? Is he talking about a time la'asid lavo? When did Zechariah live? Did Zechariah live after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash? Well, if Zechariah lived after the second Beis HaMikdash, so he's talking about the future. In the future, when Mashiach comes, then these days will be l'sasun l'simcha l'mo'adim tovim. But it can't be that Zechariah lived after the second Beis HaMikdash. First of all, as my father will tell you, that's clearly just wrong. Second of all, there was no nevuah. We lost Nevuah. Klal Yisrael lost Nevuah at the very beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no Nevuah. Zechariah could not have lived after the second Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah, of course, lived after the first Beis HaMikdash. So that means now that we have a time frame for this nevuah that you see bolded on your highlighted on your screen, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, there are four fast days to commemorate what? To commemorate the destruction of the four significant moments in the first Beis HaMikdash. So Gedaliah was killed in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Asara B'Teves is when they surrounded, they besieged Yerushalayim in the first Beis HaMikdash. Shivasar B'Tamas, we're off by a few days, but was to commemorate that fast of Tamas, I should say. Notice that this pasuk does not mention Shivasar B'Tamas, it just calls it Tzom Haravi, the fast of Tamas. The fast of Tamas, whenever it may fall out exactly, is because they broke through Yerushalayim's gates in the first Beis HaMikdash. And Tisha B'Av was because they destroyed Yerushalayim on the of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now that Zechariah pointed out those four fasts for the first Beis HaMikdash, what does he say? Yeah, it will be that these days will be days of celebration. When? Well, in 70 years, when the second Beis HaMikdash will be built, there won't be a need to commemorate the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, because there's going to be a second Beis HaMikdash. So in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, now look at the end of the pasuk, it's not talking about Yemos HaMashiach. It's not talking about a time of a Geula Shlema, and we hope one day, after thousands of years of millennia of Jewish history, that there'll be a time that we'll be able to celebrate the... No! In a few decades hence, Zechariah says, you'll have the second Beis HaMikdash, everyone will come back to Yerushalayim from Bavel, 70 years later, after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, and at that time, throughout the duration of the second Beis HaMikdash, these days will be days of Yom Tif. And that's exactly what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said, Hachi Kamar, Bizman Sheyeshal, when there will be the second Beis HaMikdash, Yihyu L'Sason L'Simcha. There we go. Okay, so we understood now a few words of this Gemara. That's what the Ritva, that's how the Ritva explains what we just learned. Let me just find my place on this Ritva. Okay, let's continue with Ritva. The opposite extreme, as we saw, was that if you don't have the Beis HaMikdash and it's a time of destruction, then, let's look back at that Gemara. I'm sorry, I'm just taking you from here to there. The Gemara explained the pasuk to tell us that if there's a time of Shmad, of Tzom, if there's a time of Shvat, of destruction, then these days are to be days of Tzom. Remember, the pasuk said both things. It said joy and Tzom. Simcha and Tzom. So we're saying, in a time of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, for example, and of course the third also, then these days will be days of celebration. In a time of destruction, these will be days of Tzom. What are days of Tzom? Vim Ein Shalom, the Ritva explains, She Beis HaMikdash Charev V'yesh Shmad Al Yisrael. So it's a time of that there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's destruction. De'ika Tarti L'Greyusa. Tarti L'Greyusa means there's a double whammy. There are two negatives. There's a dovetailing of two bad situations for clients. So A, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and B, it's a time of destruction. Then these days will be Sheyehu Tzom Gomer. It will be an absolute. You see what that word Gomer, absolute? It will be an absolute. It won't be optional. It will be an absolute requirement to fast, not Midoraisa, because it's not in Chum, Chamishah Chum Torah. So why would we have to fast? Migzeras Nevi'im Harishonim. A gzera of those Nevi'im who lived when? Who lived, I guess, in the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, who instituted these days as commemorating the destruction or the ending of that first Beis HaMikdash. They made a takana. Now this is stronger than a takana of Chachamim, because it's actually Takana of Nevi'im. Now, of course, it's Durabana, but within the category of Durabanans, there's a hierarchy. There's a totem pole. There's high-level Durabanans, there are lower-level Durabanans. A Durabanan from the time of the Mishnah is stronger than a Durabanan in the time of the Gemara, because the Mishnah's earlier. Guess what? Even stronger than a Durabanan in the time of the Mishnah is an earlier Durabanan, which would be a Durabanan from the time of the Nevi'im. Here we have the four fasts is a high-level Durabanan established by the Nevi'im at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And now, that's why, let's go back to our pasuk again. That's why when our pasuk says, both calls these days tzom, 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 as well as days of sason and simcha, the words sason and simcha refer to when there will be a Beis HaMikdash. The words tzom refer to these days in a time of destruction. Excuse me. Baruch Hashem, I don't know if you wear a mask, you're not going to catch anything. You're far away. If I had a higher definition TV screen, maybe it would be different, but at least for now, we're fine. So the mission, the pasuk is telling us, if it's a tzom, meaning it's not the entire basis, it's going to be a tzom. What kind of tzom? A tzom that is absolutely obligatory, not optional, absolutely obligatory. And what kind of obligation? Not just derabbanan, higher level derabbanan, the highest level derabbanan, which is a derabbanan from the time of the Nevi'im, a very high level derabbanan. That's when it is usr. That's when it will be a time of destruction, when you have a double whammy of the destruction, plus no Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the third stage, that middle stage, is when you don't have these two things coming together. Im ein shalom, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, v'gam ein shma, but it's not a time of destruction, sort of like right now. Then yiyah hadavar toli b'ratzon Yisrael, then it depends on the will of Klal Yisrael. Ratzu, if they want, based if the Bezin wants, misanin, lo ratzu, ein misanin klal. It is optional. That means that the Beis Din has the right to decide, if you live in a time like ours, whether we should fast on these four fasts or we should not fast on these four fasts, Tisha B'Av included. However, does that mean that if we now call up our local Beis Din and say, oh, it's really hot and humid this summer, and, you know, people are so tense from COVID, and no one's really in the mood to fast. Could you please just not want, dear Beis Din, could you just not want to fast? And if you don't want to, hey, the Gemara says, if you don't want to, then there's no fast anymore, because we don't live in a time of destruction. So it's optional. Says the Ritva, sorry, buddy, it doesn't work like that. Once we've already become accustomed, once Klal Yisrael have accepted upon ourselves, when do we accept upon ourselves? Once Klal Yisrael have accepted upon ourselves, then there's no ability to later generations to undermine that which we accepted upon ourselves. When did they accept upon themselves? Well, it had to have been after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the whole idea of that there's no Shalom but there's no Shmad was shortly after, during the first Beis HaMikdash, during the middle, the time between the two Batei Mikdash, then I assume it was considered a time of Shmad, those 70 years of Galus. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was alive, then it was a time when there was Sasam HaSimcha. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, immediately after the destruction it was a time of Shmad and no Beis HaMikdash, double whammy, so it was obligatory. As the Shmad slowly dissipated and we just go into a normal humdrum life of Galus, so we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but it's not Shmad, it now becomes the time of Ratzu, they do have to fast, Ratzu, you don't have to fast, you have the choice. Sorry. So sometime shortly after the destruction, the second Beis HaMikdash, in the, I would guess, around the year 100 of the Common Era, 200, 300 of the Common Era, in the time of the Tanaim, sometime around then, the Chachamim decided, we accept upon ourselves that we want to fast, to commemorate, I guess, both Batei Mikdash at this point in history. We look back and we see this is something that Klal Yisrael wants to do. We want to fast. And therefore, we're going to continue to fast. But wait a second. If the only reason why we're fasting nowadays is because that's what the Chachamim of that generation, let's assume is the time of the Tanam, that, you know, 100 years after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Let's pick a year. Say 100 of the Common Era, 150 of the Common Era. If that's because the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed around 70. So right around 70 was destruction. So then there was a chiyuv to fast, an absolute chiyuv to fast, midivrei nevi'im, an absolute takana d'rabbanan, a high-level takana d'rabbanan, you have to fast. But as, you know, all the Roman destruction subsided, let's say by the time you get to 150 of the Common Era, let's assume at that point things have subsided. So now the Chachamim of that generation say, okay, we decide that no, we don't have to fast. It's up to whatever we want. We as a Klal Yisrael. They took the pulse of the Jewish people And the Jewish people definitely wanted to have these fasts to commemorate the churbanos that we have encountered, the two churbanos that we have encountered. But wait a second. If that's the case, that it's only obligatory and they only accept it upon themselves because they wanted to, guess what? It only goes so far as how much they were willing to accept. Well, guess what? You know what a real tzom involves? A real tzom involves no showering. A real tzom involves no anointing. A real tzom involves no tashash hamita, no na'alayim. A real tzom involves no achila, of course, like we do on Tisha B'Av, exactly. But apparently, when they accepted upon themselves that they want to fast for the rest of Jewish history, they only accepted the real fasting on Tisha B'Av. But on the three other fasts, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia, they didn't accept upon themselves a full fast. They only accept upon themselves not to eat and drink. That's what the Ritva concludes. Mikom akom ein aleinu ela kemosha ratzu harishonim. We only have to do as much as those that early generation who committed to fasting, who accepted upon themselves to fast. Ratzu lona she'ein aleinu ela isra achila shtia. That's all that they accepted upon themselves. Aval hafsik mi ba'od yom. Also, a real fast should really start when? At Shkia, the night before, right? Like Tisha B'Av. But since they accepted upon themselves, however they want, they could do so however they wanted to accept upon themselves. So for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves and Tzom Gedalia, they accepted upon themselves only from the morning, only Achil and Shtia, and not the other things. All the other things, Rechitza, Nilas Hasan, accept, etc., lo kiblu aleihem. Now, we have just about enough tools to come to our question. But the one who deals with our question, as you see, I wrote it in English, Yavachola, who's not so ill, a person has a bad headache, but they could, you know, they didn't have their coffee, they have coffee every morning at 7 in the morning, and on Yontif, and on these fast days, they didn't have their coffee. And they know they're going to get a bad headache. The headache is going to set in, and it's really powerful bang at around 11:30. And it starts little, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And by 11:30 at noon, they're going to have a terrible headache. And they're going to have to break their fast because they have a terrible headache, which is indeed the halacha. But the question is, should they push through till 12? Or could they just start, you know, should they just have their coffee once they already feel that first little pang of uncomfortableness? Or the little bit of pain. Let's see the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, who lived about 100 some odd years ago, a little bit more than 100 years ago. He died around 100 years ago, actually. I think he died before World War I, just around that time, right around World War I. So just over 100 years ago, I believe he died. His son was the Fasemes. No, the Shemi Shmuel. I'm sorry. The Shemi Shmuel is the son of the Sachet Shavu Rebbe. And the Sachet Shavu Rebbe wrote the Avnei Nezer. Now, he was asked the following. You'll see a familiar word there that's fascinating to know that in Europe they have the same word. Dvar the Ishua Vitzom HaChamishi. What's Tzom HaChamishi? That's Tisha B'Av. The fifth month after Nisan is Tisha B'Av. Asher HaDoktor, his Hircha, the doctor, warned you Shlol Hisanos, that you shouldn't fast. But that said, if you really want, you could fast till noon. But the doctor said, I don't want you fasting the whole day. So now, should you fast till noon? The doctor said you could, right? Says the Avnei Nezer, it's clear to me that there's no point to fast at all. Wake up, go to shul in the morning, get home at 8 o'clock and eat your breakfast. Have your coffee. Why? D'makom choli lo gozer rabbanon. Because since the whole nature of the din drabanan, fast is drabanan, we have a rule that chachamim never made their takanos in places of illness. They want to push us. The chachamim, when they put all their restrictions on us and all their takanos drabanan, they want to push us. They don't want to make us sick. They don't want to make our life difficult. They just want to push us to our max. So if it's a place of a choli, lo goes drabanan. Fine. Now watch what he says. I'm not going to go through this, but he says, even though the Taz discusses this question, we're not going into the Taz. You'll see what we don't have to go into. You'll see what we're going to do in a moment. Even though the Taz says it's not so clear that maybe he should fast as long as he can, and then when he has to break his fast, he'll break his fast because he has to, but as long as he can fast, that he should fast. Says the Avnei Nezer something fascinating. Hinei, after all, b'chidushe Rashba v'ritva, that's what we just learned. We just learned the Ritva on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. And you know what they said? They said the following. They said, the way they explained the Gemara, is that even Tisha B'Av depends on what? On Ratzu or Lo Ratzu. If the Chachamim, if the Klal Yisrael in the early generations, soon after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash in the year, let's say 150 of the Common Era, they felt if they want the Chacham, they want the fast to apply, or they don't want the fast to apply. And they decided, the Chacham goes with Tisha B'Av Lisanos, Afilu Ratzu Shlo Lisanos, it's only because they decided that we should fast. And therefore, it's only going to be midrabanan. Okay. Based on what he's, what is he saying? He's saying that since, let's go back. Based on how we explained this Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, as explained by the Ritva, that once it's a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Shmad, like our generation, the need to fast is entirely depends on what the accepted custom is. If they want to fast, they fast. If they don't want to fast, they don't want to fast. What do we see clearly? That it's not really even a takana of the Nevi'im to fast anymore. Now it just depends on the Chachamim in the time of the Tanaim, which is a lower level Drabanan than a takana of the Nevi'im. And they decided, we do want to fast. Okay, we do want to fast. But how did they accept upon themselves to fast? Well, we learned. They accepted upon themselves to fast in a very limited way. They accepted upon themselves to fast only in a certain type of fasting. We don't want the full fast. We don't want the fast that starts at Shkia the night before, except for Tisha B'Av. We don't want that full fast that has an Isra of Rechitza and an Ilas HaSandal. Let me ask you an interesting question. In the time of Golus Bavel, in that first time period when they first started fasting for these four fasts, what did Shiva Asur B'Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia and Asur B'Teves look like? Well, that was a time of Shmad. In a time of Shmad, it was identical to Tisha B'Av that we know, because the fast was obligatory. It wasn't based on how they wanted. It was obligatory. In a time where there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's a time of destruction like that during Golus Bavel, they fasted four times a year, four Tisha B'Avs a year. Even Tzom Gedalia had to be from the previous night with an Isra Rechitza, an Isra Nilas HaSandal. Only after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we got to a sort of this equilibrium period where it's not so terrible, life is not so bad, we're in this, yes, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Shema, there's no, we're not suffering destruction right now. Then there was this new model of, oh, we only have to keep it because we want to, and since it depends on how we want, we could accept it how on our terms. And when the Chachamim of that generation after the second Beis HaMikdash accepted it, they did take it on their own terms. Their terms were that we're going to start fasting only in the morning. We're not really going to prohibit, you know, washing and wearing shoes, except Tisha B'Av. We'll leave Tisha B'Av. Well, if that's the case, that's only based on how we accept it. It's really just a derabanan, not even a takana from the Nevi'im, because the takana of the Nevi'im was only applicable when there's absolute destruction. But in our generation, for meaning for the past 1900 years, where there's no Shmad, then it's not a maybe, unless you call the Holocaust and situations like that Shmad, that could be true. But for most of the time when we are sort of in an equilibrium, the Takana is only to do as the rabbis accepted upon themselves for Midrabanan. And if that's the case, for somebody who's ill, the rabbi said, you don't have to fast. And therefore concludes the Avnei Nezer. Why was the Taz machmir in this shaila? And he says that if somebody's ill, they should fast at least a half a day or something like that. You know why? Look what he says. During the time of the Taz, he didn't have this explanation of the Gemara that I shared with you from the Rashba. Because the first Rashba was only printed in the time of the Mishneh LeMelech, a generation or two, a little bit after the Taz. The Taz didn't have access to this explanation of the Gemara that we learned together tonight. V'chidushi haritva, and the chidushi haritva, which is what I actually learned literally with you, the Rashba, we didn't do though, we just did the ritva, that was the purple letters, that was printed only bismanenu in the 1800s. So the Taz, who lived earlier than that, who lived, I think, in the time of the Chmielnitsky massacres in the late 1600s, he didn't have access to this ritva, to this Rashba, to the way of understanding the Gemara that you and I just understood. And therefore, you and I, who have the original explanation of this Gemara, before the Taz, right? From the time of the Rishon, the Rashba, and the Ritva, we know what this Gemara really means that the Taz didn't have. We understand that the Gemara really means that in our generation, it was completely accepted upon the Chacham however they wanted, and they accepted it as a certain level of a Derabbanan, and therefore, if somebody's ill, Chachamim didn't want to accept upon themselves this fast for somebody who's ill. L'chein barer, and therefore it is clear that somebody who's going to have to break their fast because they're sick, shalol hisaros klal v'tocham yad beboker, they should have their coffee in the morning. And that's the halacha. So, the halacha that the Avnei Nezer is paskening, and I believe we can paskin like this, is that somebody who's sick, again, if somebody's not sick, but they're going to get sick, that might be a little different. But if somebody has any illness, somebody has a diabetes situation, somebody has a heart condition, somebody has a they're enduring treatments, whatever the situations might be. I'm not even talking about pikuach nefesh. We don't need to come out to pikuach nefesh. Somebody has a sickness, somebody has the flu, somebody has a bad headache and they could push through for a few hours till it gets really bad. Somebody has strep throat maybe. You know, bad case of strep throat. Somebody has something that they're sick and that warrants that they're allowed to fast. They don't have to try to push few frowns. They do not have to try to fast till chatzos. A lot of people have that misconception that, oh, let me at least try to fast till chatzos. That is not the halacha. The halacha is that if a person is sick, lo gozer bar rabbanon. The chachamim, since the nature of our fast is no longer, certainly not the raisa, it's not even that strong level takana of the chachad, the neviim rishonim. Now it's only a level of obligation of Ratzu, yes, lo Ratzu, lo. If the Chachamim want to, then yes, if they want to know. They only accepted upon themselves the nature of a Chiyuv on this lower level of obligation that we now have. And therefore, there is no need for somebody who is not feeling well, there is no need, how much do they have to not feel, what we could discuss. But certainly with somebody who has a medical condition that the doctor says they do have to eat, then there's no point, they don't have to push themselves to get till Chatzos and say, oh, let me at least fast a half a day. If they want to, they can, but it's not halachically, you could do whatever you want, but that's not halachically expected or required, or even, I can't even say that it's ideal from a halachic perspective. There is no chiyuv. There's no chiyuv, so what are you doing? That is the answer to our question based on the ritva that we just learned. I want to just finish with, let's jump ahead for a second to see two more things. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a very interesting question. Let's say a person has two choices. If they go to work, they know they work in a high-pressure environment, or they work on their feet. I've gotten this question most of the time. Most shilohs that I've got from this exact genre of shilohs were from nurses. Nurses are the ones who ask me the shiloh more than anyone else. The shiloh is presented as follows. I have to go to work today. It's a fast day. But I know that I'm going to be on my feet and I'm going to be running around. And if I do go to work, I'm going to have to break my fast. So should I take off the day from work? Very simple question. I've gotten the question many times. So that could apply not just to nurses who are on their feet, or, Dr. Pinta, you're in the ER, that could happen, you could ask the same Shaila and anyone else who is in a high-pressure job. If you stay home, you're not going to have the pressure. You stay lying in bed in an air conditioner, and you listen to your music on your earphones. But if you're at work, things are tense, and you're running around. You're going to get a headache later in the day. You're going to get a little more dehydrated. You're going to have to break your fast. So do you have to take off the day from work? Are you allowed to go to work if you know you're going to have to break your fast? That was what the question that Ramosha and Igris Moshe, Chaim Chelek Dal, Simur Kuf Yudal, discusses. So he says, if it's a weakness, first of all, he says a point that we'll see soon. Ramosha's understanding is that if somebody is weaker than the normal person's strength, for whatever reason, such a person is not obligated to fast. If you are sicker than a normal person would be theoretically sick during a fast day, for whatever reason, you're not obligated to fast. So he says, therefore, and this certainly applies to nurses, as you'll see, Mikol makom, Rashi lechatchila la'asos avodaso. It's lechatchila permitted to go to work. Kevin shimoleches shemayim. It's you're doing good kind of work. Again, if you're you're just a mortgage broker for yourself and you're not really helping, you know, a commercial mortgage broker, you're not really helping anybody. Maybe it's not moleches shemayim, but since you're doing good work, most of us are involved. We're doing good work. Afshimim lo haya oved haya yachol hisanos. If you would stay home, you wouldn't have to. You wouldn't have a problem fasting. You'd be able to, you know, you sit at home, you lie in bed, you stay calm, you stay hydrated, you're not going to schwitz. But if you go to work, you're going to get weakened and you have to eat. So then it's going to be permitted to go to work. Now he says something interesting. Or if you're an employee for somebody else. Wow, you work for somebody else. Then even if it's not a mitzvah job that you work, you're not a nurse, you're not an OT, you're not a PT, you're not helping other people. But you're an employee in an investment bank. But you're hired work. If you're hired work, so then by you not coming to work, it hurts the bank that you're working for. It hurts the firm that you're working for. Ubisachar etzacher, if you're hired by others, afim meleches harishus, even if it's not a mitzvah type of work. You're not in the helping, the caring, the allied health professional field, etc. It still has to tacherim. Therefore, you should go to work. Tzarech lavod. Even if it will cause a person to be weakened and need to eat. And finally, he concludes, and anybody who has a weak, weak composition, if somebody is of weak composition, is considered sick in this regard and is permitted to eat on a fast day. I was once running an outreach program in Eretz Yisrael called July in Jerusalem for beginners in Judaism. And we had college students who were either Bali Tshuva or becoming Bali Tshuva or had recently become Bali Tshuva. And there was one young lady on our trip. It was Tisha B'Av, I remember very vividly. And on Tisha B'Av, we purposely tried to schedule a trip to Yad Vashem because it's very appropriate. And it distracts, you know, you're not focusing on the fast because it's very, you know, but it is emotionally draining on some level. So we had a young lady on our trip. It was a trip for college-age men and women. And there's a young woman on our trip who happened to be a very slight build, a very small, petite young lady. And at one point in the trip, I think it was right as we were about to go into the children's memorial, she starts, I don't know if I remember, she almost fainted. And after I realized, you know, she didn't have much experience fasting. And, you know, she was somebody of very, very weak composition as far as ability to fast. I didn't know till afterwards. She's prone to fainting and she's prone to, you know, getting dehydrated. So such a person who's a very weak composition and often gets dehydrated. And, you know, when people ask me, oh, could I drink or eat? You know, the first question I ask is, do you have a history of getting dehydrated? Because if a person has a history of getting dehydrated, a person is very weak in general, so such a person is already in the category of a chola who doesn't have to fast in the first place. And that's psak of the Mishnah Berurah. That's the psak also indicated here by Rav Moshe Feinstein. So we'll stop here. We should be zocha be'ezus Hashem back to that pasuk. Now we understand the pasuk a little bit more deeply. But now, just like Zechariah said regarding his expectation of the second Beis Hamikdash, that these four fast days will be days of sason, simcha, moedim, tovim, we should be zocha to the ultimate fulfillment of that pasuk in Zechariah, that all the fast days, first of all, we should all be healthy, we should all have strength and health be'ezus Hashem as we move forward through the summer, we should stay healthy and hydrated. But also, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to the time of the ultimate Beis Yehiyah, Beis Yehuda, Sasam, Simcha, Moadim, Tovim, for us, for all of Klal Yisrael. Thanks so much for joining, and I'm very grateful that you're with us.